Our opening hymn this morning, hymn number 3 in the church hymnal, God is love, let heaven adore him.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion this morning. And we welcome to all those who are joining us online. And sometimes we get messages at different points from those who are not able to be with us in person, but they always like to join with us online. So we want to welcome you to the service today as we come together to break bread around the Lord's table. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking together about the gift of faith and what that looks like and what it means in our lives to be people of faith. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I just wanted to mention a few in particular. On Tuesday morning, the Craiga Crafters are meeting at 11 o'clock in Hillmount for a coffee gathering. And if you can join, and you're welcome to come along, that's at 11 o'clock in Hillmount on Tuesday morning. The Pickleballers are playing pickleball on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And on Thursday evening, our parish prayers take place over Zoom at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. Morning prayer at 11 and evening prayer at 7. And a couple of dates for the diary towards the end of this month and the beginning of next month. On the 26th to the 29th of August, The Bishop's Bible Week is taking place this year in Hollywood Parish Church. So each evening from Tuesday to Friday at 7:45, the speaker this year is Colin Smith. And Colin is pastor of a church in Chicago. And he comes originally from Scotland. And he has an online ministry. He does Bible teaching every day. And he's going to speak about the topic of the art of contentment over about 3 or 4 evenings in Hollywood Parish Church. So he promises to bring a lot to that gathering. And if you're free to come, they're always really encouraging evenings, 7:45 each evening from the 26th to the 29th of August in Hollywood Parish Church. As you will have heard in recent weeks, we're looking forward to hosting a community fun day on Saturday the 6th of September. And there is a list at the back of the church. There's lots of jobs to do on a day like a community fun day. And if you can help us in any way, do please sign up on the list at the back of the church. And we really appreciate people's help as we seek to open our doors and welcome in our friends and neighbours from across the community to a special fun day for all the family here on the 6th of September. You'll have seen on the way in this morning at the back of the church, the Mothers Union are gathering some dried foodstuffs for persecuted Christians right across the world. There's particular request for lentils, rice, and pulses, and there's a container at the back of the church if people want to be involved in that. And the Diocesan Mothers Union over recent weeks recently delivered £720 to local food banks to assist families with extra demand during school summer holidays. So if you want to be involved in perhaps that outreach to the persecuted church across the world and bring some dried foodstuffs, we're going to be collecting them here over the next number of months and distributing them through that appeal. Our service today is the service of Holy Communion, and you'll find all the responses on the screen, or if you prefer to follow in the Book of Common Prayer, our service begins on page 201.
Let us pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. The collect for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity. Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed are those who observe and keep your law. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, to delight in your commandments, and to walk in the glorious liberty given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Claire is going to come for our readings.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and verses 8 to 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 32. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We respond to the gospel as we affirm our faith, saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe.
We believe in God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We respond by singing together from Thanks and Praise, hymn 11, Before the Throne of God Above.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the great privileges of what I do every day is that I get to spend time with people who have been walking the road of faith much longer than I have. And there is something very, very special about people who have lived a life of faith. In my experience, they tend to see the world differently. Their perspective is beautiful. And while on some levels it's hard to describe in words what they have, there is a sense that when you encounter it, you want some of it in your own life. And it can be hard, as I say, to find words or to articulate what faith is all about. And yet this morning in our epistle reading, which Claire read for us a few moments ago, the writer to the Hebrews tries to give us some words and some helpful definitions. Faith, we're told, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is that not only are we after a place or a state, but we're actually after a person. And I like the way the commentator William Barclay describes the life of faith when he wrote, "The Christian is not a tourist who returns each night to the place from which he starts, but he's a pilgrim who is forever on the way. And the goal is nothing less than the likeness of Christ." And so whenever I think about my life and your life and the life of this church, I guess what I long and what I hope for is that somehow we will be so filled with the Spirit of Jesus that he will be visible to all who encounter us, whether that's here in the building as we worship together, or whenever people come into our homes, our workplaces, the places where we socialize and meet other people. And it's almost like a fragrance that's left lingering after we leave the room, that people somehow know that Jesus has been there too. And Abraham, in our reading, is one of the examples that were given of a life of faith. And the first thing that I notice is that people of faith are people who trust God and his purposes for their lives. And one of the truths that completely blew me away whenever faith first became important in my own life was that God has a purpose or a plan for my life. And that is a remarkable truth to take on board if you lack confidence in yourself, or if you compare yourself unfavorably to others. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And if we delve into the story of Abraham, and we can read much more about it in Genesis chapter 12, we discover that Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave behind everything that was familiar to him and go to a new land. And Abraham didn't even know where he was to go or how long it would take to get there, but from what he knew of God,
He knew that absolutely this was the right thing for him to do. And sometimes living the life of faith is acting on those nudges or remarks that people make to us. That's how most people that I know in Christian leadership end up doing what they're doing. They might have been doing something very, very different. Maybe farming or running a business. Maybe bringing up a family, working in music or industry. But somehow God invited them to step out, to go into the unknown. And they did. So people of faith are people who trust God and his purposes for their lives. And in fact, that actually becomes the driving force in their lives to discover what it is that he wants them to do. And they seem to discover on that journey, people of faith, that their life is not their own, but it's God's. And fulfillment is found not by making piles of money or by doing what they want when they want, but fulfillment is found by living in God's service and seeking to fulfill his purposes. And as we delve into that story of Abraham in Genesis 12, we discover that he was a man who was searching after God. He was dissatisfied with all the idolatry of his own people. And so when God's call came for him to go when he was 75 years old, he was ready to go into the unknown in order to find God. So people of faith seem to understand that life is a journey, and they have never arrived on many levels. Most people that I know, myself included, value security and safety. And perhaps we reach a certain level in our careers, or we discover a standard of living that enables us to do most of the things that we want to do. But then we get fearful when it comes to moving on to the next level. There's a sense that we're afraid that we might be found wanting, or that we'll not have the ability to do the task as we go up a level. But by faith, Abraham and his wife Sarah, they were given this vision by God that went beyond their wildest imagination. And it was a vision that seemed so improbable that initially they laughed at it. And yet, as they stepped out and they moved on to obey, God honored their faithfulness. And he enabled them to become the unlikely parents of a new nation. And people of faith, were told in verse 10 of that reading, they're people who look forward to a heavenly city whose architect and builder is God. One of the big lies that society tells us, and for the most part, it's a lie that we have swallowed, is that this life is all that there is. And that is why we try to save up for the future or for the rainy day. It's also why we dread very often the prospect of getting older or not being able to do the things that we always did. But this is an area that sets people of faith apart. And again, over many years, it has been my honor and privilege to meet and to visit many people of faith who've been diagnosed with serious and terminal illnesses. And when you speak with people of faith in that situation, it's not that they dismiss in any way what lies ahead in terms of suffering or loss of independence. It's not that they diminish in any way the sense of incalculable loss they feel in leaving behind the people that they love. But what is different in the lives of people of faith is their unwavering hope of heaven, of being in the nearer presence of Jesus when this life ends. One of my best friends trained as a lay reader, and during the period of his training, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he'd always lived a very full and a very rich life. But the last year of his life was a thing of incredible richness and beauty. And when he found himself in hospital, as he did quite frequently at that point, he kept giving away Bibles and Bible reading notes. He would very often pray for fellow patients who were fearful and anxious. And he was somebody who brought church communities together to do things that they didn't think they were capable of. So compelling was his enthusiasm and his capacity to help people to see what they were capable of and to point others to Jesus. He was someone who was given a vision of a heavenly city, and he wanted to build a better here and now for everyone around him. So faith, the life of faith, it also involves a dissatisfaction with the world as it is, but a desire to create, with God's help, a new way forward. How our world needs people of faith right now. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who come to you in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And this morning we ask you to be with all who are searching for and longing for faith. We pray that your church would be a place where your presence, your love, and your light break through in a tangible way to transform and to heal individuals, communities, and even nations. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And at this time, we pray for important talks that are taking place to negotiate peace in Israel and Gaza, in Russia and Ukraine. And as we think of those incredibly complex and difficult situations, we pray especially this morning for all the key players and the people who are involved in these negotiations. We ask in the first instance that they would all be present in the same room, that they would be genuine and constructive. We pray that you'd help them to hear and to say the important things that need to be heard and said. And we ask for creative and courageous ways to make the deals that are necessary to end the bloodshed. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray today for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. We pray for all young people who are awaiting important exam results this week. We pray too for their parents and teachers, and we ask that you would make their path clear going forward. We also pray this morning for those who are sick at home or in hospitals or in nursing homes. And we ask, Lord, for the important gift of faith. We pray for your healing presence. And we pray for the hope of heaven. And in a quiet moment, let us bring before God those who are particularly in our thoughts and on our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue in our prayer. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share in his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Our hymn of offering this morning is in the Red Church Hymnal, song 595, Safe in the Shadows of the Lord.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. If you want to turn to page 216. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. And at the end of the supper, you took the cup of wine. You gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that holy things have taken. May the ears which have heard your word be deaf to clamor and dispute. May the tongues which have sung your praise be free from deceit. May the eyes which have seen the tokens of your love shine with the light of hope. May the bodies which have been fed with your body be refreshed with the fullness of your life. Glory to you forever. Amen. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise and glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn number 10, All My Hope on God Is Founded. in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.